We're going to talk about the anointing or the unction from the Holy Spirit. I think it's the old King James version of the Bible that uses the term unction. The newer translation used the word anointing. And the reason for that, I believe, the reason that both are available to us, anytime we say something and we describe something, we use certain words. And the purpose of words are to create pictures in your mind to help you understand what's being talked about. Well, God was very careful to use specific words that would create the image of what he was saying so we could cooperate with it, so we could understand it. From the word anointing, we may think, I know that's the Holy Spirit blessing something or getting involved with something, and that's accurate and true. What I like about the word unction, that it almost has right in it. If you say, well, I kind of felt something. I felt this nudge or I felt this bump from the Holy Spirit. And I want you to understand the nudge or the unction of the Holy Spirit is a bump. It's a prompting. It's a push in a particular direction. And it is something you can learn to follow. We've been in Passover. We talked about pursuing your destiny as a child of God. We've talked about getting victory over the sin that gets in the way of your destiny as a child of God. We talked about bearing fruit that glorifies God. As a child of God, that's what we're to be doing. And all three of those things will be fulfilled if you'll learn to follow the anointing or the unction of the Holy Spirit. That's the way to pursue anything that is set before you by the Word of God or by the Spirit of God or by both. So let's take a look at this 1 John 2:27. Been in 1 John a lot, but there's some stuff there we got to hear. The anointing you receive from God abides permanently in you. You have no need to be instructed by anyone but the Holy Spirit. I probably say this every time I read that verse. That doesn't negate the importance of teachers or preachers or people who stand up to teach. Doesn't mean there's no need for them. What it means to say the Holy Spirit will teach you, you don't need to be instructed by anyone. That means if you learn to follow this unction or this prompting, leading of the Holy Spirit will make sure, in fact, he'll guarantee that every word you need to hear from God to be a mature, fruit-bearing believer, you'll have it. Anything you need for your health, for your blessings, for your peace of mind, anything you need from God, you'll receive with gee. Are you with me on this? You'll get it directly from the Holy Spirit. I do my best every week to stand up before you and say what God once said, and I'll labor to do that. But if you didn't have me or anybody else to preach, you'd still, if you followed the Holy Spirit, receive what you need to receive. Verse 27, still in 1 John 2. The same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, as it has taught you, you will abide in him. Here's the power of that statement. Abiding in Christ, get this, abiding in Christ is fulfilled and accomplished when you follow that unction of the Holy Spirit. Come on in, have a seat. All right? It is fulfilled when you follow that unction. That's why we need to learn it. I was kidding around with somebody this week talking about this message, and I said, I know what I'm going to say on Sunday, and I'm not going to try to put it nicely. If you're not following promptings from the Holy Spirit daily, pretty much, I can't imagine there's going to be a day go by in your life that God doesn't have something to say to you. Any subject, it's a matter of what you need. It's a matter of what keeps you safe. It's a matter of what will bless you or help you, keep you out of trouble. He's going to speak to you every day. And we learn to recognize the prompting or the unction from the Holy Spirit. We're going to receive all the blessings. We're going to receive everything that he has for us. And it is the way that you abide in a mature, healthy relationship with Jesus Christ. Here's that tough word. If you're not hearing from the Holy Spirit regularly, you don't have the right to say, I have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Say, well, I go to church every Sunday. We don't let him in here, but the devil goes to church on Sunday. No big deal there. How come we can keep the devil out of here or out of our lives? Because we follow the Holy Spirit. That's what a believer does. We hear from the Holy Spirit. We obey the Holy Spirit. Keeps the devil out of our lives. Keeps sickness and disease out of our lives. Keeps poverty away from us. And it's the way we walk out a real, mature relationship with Jesus Christ. All I'm saying that for is to compel you to a deeper or better or more mature relationship with Jesus Christ. John 5:6 says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Now we know this is John the Apostle's book. We know that when John calls Jesus the Word, and particularly in a Holy Trinity context, when he uses the Word, he's talking about Jesus. John is the one who said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The reason that is worded that way is because there is an agreement between Jesus Christ and the written Word of God that is spiritual, that is supernatural, and it's an equality between Jesus and the written Word that is a setup from God. We could go forever on why that's a setup from God, but here's the basics of it. God wants you to have the same respect for the words in your Bible that you have for His Son. If you're obeying the written Word of God, you're obeying God. You're obeying the Son. You're obeying the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm going to teach you something about this, learning to recognize the agreement between the three. And I'm going to tell you something that I've never told you before, because I didn't see this until this last week as I was putting this message together. I said, we need to do it. Even if you've been doing it a while, God's still got something new for you every day, pretty much. And I'm going to show you something about the Father and Son and Holy Spirit being in agreement that I want you to begin to look for, learn to recognize, and begin to pursue with your life. From John 6:63, Jesus said, the Spirit gives life, the flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Jesus' words are spirit. That means every word that came out of his mouth, that's all of them, were birthed by the Holy Spirit. He was speaking by the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we know Jesus' life. The word says he never ever sinned. And we know he wasn't robbing banks or murdering anybody. We know that. But never sinned for Jesus means never spoke a word out of his mouth ever that was contrary to God's will for what God wanted spoken into this earth. Never violated one word. That's why Jesus said to us, we'll give account for every idle word that he spoke. You know the standard that he set for us by saying that? You can let the Holy Spirit influence every single word that comes out of your mouth. I realize, I say this a lot, if none of you were here today, I'd preach this for me just as well. If we're not careful, stuff can come out of our mouth that isn't Holy Spirit birthed or Holy Spirit guided at all. And that doesn't mean, I'm not just talking about cussing or getting mad. I'm talking about, did you need to say that? Is what you said contrary to what God had planned or willed for that moment? And we need to be careful about that stuff. And if we start following the unction of the Holy Spirit, He will teach us to be more careful with that stuff. Here's what I want you to see. Every single word that Jesus spoke was full of the Spirit of God. If it came out of His mouth, the Spirit of God wanted it coming out. And when it came out, it was as much Spirit as it was one with Jesus who spoke it. Here's what I want you to see. Even when you speak the word that Jesus spoke, And technically, the any word in the Bible is in line with things that Jesus spoke. But if you want to learn the unction of the Holy Spirit, let's start with Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Let's start with the stuff in red, if you got one of those kind of Bibles. Let's start speaking out of our mouth the words that Jesus spoke, because here's what's going to happen when you do. You've got two out of three in alignment already, because Jesus said every word I spoke. He didn't say most of them. Every word that he spoke is spirit. Now, I put you an example up here, Mark 16:15. We ought to be pretty familiar with that. It's called the Great Commission. Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. He said, these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. Those words coming out of my mouth just now, by the teaching of Jesus and by the teaching of 1 John that we just read, let's say it this way, by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, when I read those words, they come out of my mouth, I am in agreement with Jesus Christ, and I am in agreement with the Holy Spirit, because those words are spirit. Are you with me? I'm in agreement with Holy Spirit, and I'm in agreement with Jesus Christ. I want to challenge you to a new something. You say, well, God would be in agreement with that. Well, technically, he would. But what about the moment? Here's where I'm going to show you something about the agreement or the unction, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If I say, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, I'm in agreement with Jesus. I'm in agreement with the Holy Spirit. Let's say, Jerry, that God is wanting to say to you, I need you to go talk to your next door neighbor about Jesus. He's been moving in your heart telling you that. When I say go into the world and preach, I'm in alignment with Jesus, and I'm in alignment with the Holy Spirit. If God is telling you, I want you to talk to your neighbor today, now you're in line, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you'll feel that, and that will feel different, because it'll be the three in agreement. Did everybody get that? When God the Father is saying, I am willing, I am planning for you to do this today, and then a word gets spoken, a word from Jesus. It's already Jesus in the Spirit. Now I say it, it's in agreement. Let's go to the next one. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned. If that comes out of my mouth, I have agreement between Jesus and Holy Spirit, just because it came out of my mouth. If someone is sitting in this room today who says, gee, I never got baptized in water, well, after I believe, maybe I need to do that. And you speak it or you think it, you will feel the agreement of Father, Son, and Spirit coming together. And it's an unction, it's a prompting that you can feel. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with tongues. Somebody says, well, I'm a believer. I don't speak in tongues. Hey, Lord, do you want me to speak in tongues? If God the Father is sitting in heaven saying, Dawn, it's your time for tongue talking. I know you're a tongue talker anyway, but if he's saying that, okay? If he's saying it's your time to be a tongue talker, you hear the word that Jesus spoke. Now you have a Father, Son, and Holy Spirit agreement that you'll be able to feel. Now, is everybody with me on that? Because if you want to be nitpicky about it, it is a reality that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit will never be in disagreement with each other. They'll never be in disagreement with each other. But the reality of it is, I don't know how many thousands of promises there are in the Word of God, but get this, if on any given day of the week, God is prompting you to do something that he needs you to do on that day, when you hear the word from Jesus that is in agreement with the Holy Spirit, and it's the day and it's the moment that God is speaking to you, you will feel the unction and it will feel different. Well, let me go to my next slide here. It will feel different than the peace of God. And I'm going to take us over to Colossians 3. In fact, you could be flipping there in your Bibles. This is one of my... Well, it's one of my favorite verses. It's one of the most important verses for this church. And here's why I say it's an important verse for this church. He begins the passage by saying, let the peace of Christ... Well, let me take a look. He might end the passage. Let me make sure I'm on the right side of it. Begins with let the peace of Christ dwell in you, but then it finishes with let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Now, that's a description of our Sunday morning worship service. Can you say amen to that? Amen. That's a description of our Sunday morning worship service. And we encourage the singing and the praising. And what we're trying to do is to create a spiritual atmosphere in here so that it's easy for us to allow the Spirit to move and easy for us to get that unction or that witness or that prompting from the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? There's an atmosphere that we create in a worship service. It's my brother and sister from Salt Lake. So glad you're here. God bless you. They said we apologize. We'll probably be a bit late. I said, come anyway. God bless you. Love those guys. Got stories to tell. We'll wait till we're having lunch together at the end. But good souls. Hooked up with these folks up in Salt Lake. We worshiped, prophesied together. It was great fun. Anyway, back to this one. He starts the passage by saying, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And then he talks about this spiritual atmosphere that has prophesying, speaking words, encouraging each other, singing spiritual songs. Those are songs that are birthed in the Spirit spontaneously during the moment of worship. I said, and I want to say this to you, the unction that I'm teaching us about today is different. It feels different from the peace of God. And you can learn, and in fact, we must learn to tell the difference. Because, and I'll use my bad example because I have one. You know where he's going even before he says it. Motorcycle stupid for 4 years. God was yelling at me and I couldn't hear. That's an exaggeration. But he was talking as loud as could possibly be spoken to a human being and I wasn't hearing it. And if you'd have said, do you have peace to jump on that motorcycle and ride to Boise, Idaho? After my wife said you could die this weekend? After my friend Terry Ezell, as an elder in our church, says you could die this weekend? Is there any way I can get you to take your truck instead of the motorcycle? No, I'm taking the motorcycle. You have peace about that? Of course I do. How in the world could I get peace that nearly got me killed because I was disobeying God so bad? Because we're human beings and we got a flesh side that'll look at something that's going to make us happy and we'll tune out the Holy Spirit. And we don't have an understanding and a commitment to look for that unction from the Holy Spirit. If I'd have pursued the witness of the Holy Spirit, and I knew better back in those days, but I had a bit of rebellion in my nature that needed to be broken. You know the story. I hit my head on the pavement at 110 miles an hour without a helmet. Something broke. It could have said on my tombstone, really loved God, was just too stupid to listen to the Holy Spirit. It could have said that on my tombstone. Thank you, Carbon County churches and my wife and my church for praying me back from that stupidity so I could get another chance. So I hate to be able to tell that on me, but you know, if you can tell it, you can tell it. So I'm saying to you, we as human beings have the ability to tune out the Holy Spirit, and we'll say we have peace about that. If you have peace about disobeying God's word, if you have peace about disobeying your wife, for crying out loud, in my case, wives are going to preach it, brother. Who was speaking the pure word of the Lord to me in an attempt to save my life. My other people had a third guy met me up in Boise to say, for God's sake, be careful. The devil's trying to kill people on this trip. Oh, I'm fine. I'm fine. So here's why that fits into this message. The unction from the Holy Spirit should be an overriding factor in our lives that we never make a choice to leave out of any decision we're going to make.
Well, you always want to say it that way, but there it is. I'll say it again.
The unction from the Holy Spirit is something, is a principle that we should never leave out of any decision-making process that we're going through. We have to learn that. If I would have said, hey, Holy Spirit, I'm gonna wait on you until I hear what you have to say about this trip. He may have said, don't go, or he may have said, don't go over the speed limit, which is what my wife said to me before I left. Okay. But I didn't wait for that because I had peace about just going, and I did. Okay. Unction flows from the peace of God, not to be confused with it. You want to maintain God's peace in your life? The minute you step in a direction and for some reason the peace gets disturbed, you stop and you wait for the unction. Holy Spirit, I thought I was going shopping down at Walmart today, and I started out the door and something said, don't go. Wait a minute, that's your peace getting challenged. Okay, that's the time to say, Holy Spirit, give me a witness about what's going on here. And you want to do that to the point where it can change your life and save you from a deadly situation? You want to do that the way I'm trying to teach you to do that today? You got something from the Spirit that's challenging your peace. You're supposed to stop. Now, if it's coming out of Jesus' mouth, you know it's Jesus and you know it's Holy Spirit. I can start flipping around looking at them red things in my Bible until I get a word that goes, oh, that's it. That's it. Then I've heard from the Holy Spirit, and the only thing left to do is obey at that point, because anytime Father, Son, and Spirit align properly, and remember, they'll never be misaligned in your spirit. The issue is our soul. What is our soul saying we can do or not do? Well, if our soul is saying, I have peace to go this way, that's a start. You can go that way. You have peace about it. I take a step, the peace starts to go away. That's the time to say, Holy Spirit, what happened to my peace? And he can either say, because I don't want you over there, or he can say, you got to know this before you go. He'll have something to say to you. And when you hear it and you can feel it, we've got to learn this. When you hear it, then he gives you it. When you hear that, he'll give you an anointing of strength and grace to obey it with. And that's how we walk in a mature and a powerful relationship with Jesus Christ. Let's go back to this one. He says, start with the peace of God. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom through psalms, hymns, song, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your heart. That describes a worship service that we try to have here every Sunday. But staying filled with the Word, this is supposed to be a description of our life, not just a Sunday morning situation every week. It should be a Sunday morning situation every week. That's the atmosphere we want. People filled with the Word of God, speaking it in worship settings. It's the primary place to recognize the unction from the Holy Spirit. Some Sunday morning worship is the perfect place to practice this.
Gee, I didn't know I was going to say this. I don't think I can get out of it at this point.
Boy, take this the right way. I wouldn't trade one of any of you for 10 of anybody else. You are, all of you, like Terry says, give me eye contact here. I'll make sure you're all getting it. You are the hope of the world. You are the future of Christ's church in this earth. And the fact that we come together and we're trying to worship and let God move through us, I've told you, we can all prophesy one by one that we may learn. What are we learning? We're learning to let God speak through us. And we ought to be in pursuit of that all of our lives. So we have that Sunday morning. We're trying to learn that. Here's the thing that I'm sort of wrestling to say, but I have to say it. I love you. Take it the right way. There are... I'll say it this way. Anytime someone speaks by the Holy Spirit, we think we have the unction. Remember, this message says we all got a thing or two, starting with me, we've got a thing or two to be learned about the unction from the Holy Spirit. If we open our mouth, it's because we think we have the unction to speak. I know y'all well enough. Your hearts are right. Your soul is in the right position before God. I want us all to keep learning to speak and prophesy and declare what we feel God is giving us. Here's the hard part. That being said, with some people, it's about 100%. Okay. I don't want to make eye contact with anybody. With some people, it's about 100%. And by the way, I'm not the 100% guy. You can ask my wife. You can ask me. I labor to be ready to speak by the Spirit every single word. I'm not the 100% person I'm talking about. But there's one in here. All right. Some are about 75, 80%. There's several of them. Some are about 50%. And here's the point I'm making. None of us is perfect. Starting with me. I hope I'm the 75 or 80% guy. I'll be talking more. I think I do pretty well with it. I sure labor to. But here's the point I want to give us. We can all learn to do better with that. And by the way, anybody who ever spoke something in here that wasn't 100% Holy Spirit anointed, it was never contrary to the Word of God. It was never contrary to the will or the plan or the purpose of God. The timing of Father, Son, and Spirit being in perfect alignment, it may not have been there. In fact, it wasn't. Are you with me on this? It didn't make it a deadly word. You can still obey what was said. It was a good word. It was a good bit of instruction from the Word. Are you with me on this? And please, I'm not saying this to make anybody afraid to speak. If you know me, he ain't afraid to speak anywhere. Trying to get him to be quiet is hard sometimes. Not afraid to speak anywhere. Sometimes my wife will have to tell me, oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that. Okay, point is we can all send it out there before it needed to go. We could all think that what we said needed to be said, and we could be wrong about that. All I'm saying is if we will learn, and the atmosphere to learn it is Sunday morning worship. It's the place to learn it. We have worship leaders. We have pastors and teachers. We have elders. We have people with some experience who can help and encourage and do these things and help us all learn to do it better. I'm not trying to lessen anybody's confidence about speaking, but I am trying to challenge us to pursue something new with respect to the unction of the Holy Spirit so that we do better with, and we can learn this, we can feel it. Here's a couple of scriptures that'll help us. That will give us the anointed soul realm perspective that we need to lock us into the process of learning to improve our ability to recognize the unction from the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:22, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. That's exactly what I'm talking about today. Obeying the truth from the Spirit. The truth is the written word of God. I find a word that Jesus spoke. I know it's Jesus and I know it's Spirit. When God says, that's for you right now. When God says that at that moment, you'll feel it. And that's what he's describing here. You purify your soul. Our spirits is as holy as Jesus is. Don't have to worry about that. My flesh is as stupid can be most days. It can be trained to follow the Spirit. But the flesh will come into line with the Spirit when the soul is trained to only obey the Holy Spirit and to throw out the junk that the flesh is trying to get it to follow. It's a process. He says you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. That's a process. Hebrews 4:1 says there's a promise. It says, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. What he describes in that passage as being the rest of God, it's entering into the perfect will of God. In fact, it says he has ceased from his own works. I think I say this every single Sunday. You ceasing from your own works, I'm not worried that God's got to stop you from robbing banks or murdering people. I don't think he's wasting energy trying to fix that in any of us. But what does us ceasing from our own works looks like? It means the stuff I'm doing is in obedience to the Holy Spirit. It means it came from that unction that the Holy Spirit gave me. Now, does that mean you can't brush your teeth in the morning unless the Holy Spirit... I'm not trying to get nutsoid or goofy about it, but I am trying to bring us to another level. Some people pray about what clothes to put on. I don't. I reach in the closet and grab two things and put them on. Sometimes my wife won't let me out the door that way. It's my, what were you thinking? I didn't turn the light on. It was dark. I grabbed a couple of things. No. Go back. Okay. Good thing I have her, right? Good thing I have her. But you know what? The people that I know who've labored in prayer before they selected, they have stories to tell of why they had that pink shirt with the flowers. I don't have one of those. But but for some reason, God said, put that on, and they did, and somebody got saved over it or something like that. Those stories are out there. Now, I don't see that for me. But here's what I'm saying. Whatever time you want to put into getting an unction from the Holy Spirit for going through the day, if you will increase your pursuit of that and you will improve your ability to discern and recognize that unction, your life will change, because that keeps us in the perfect will of God. That's where the anointing is. That's where the protection from sickness and disease is. That's where poverty can't get a hold of you. That's where you walk in the blessings and the provision of God and the protection of God. It's in his perfect will. And how can you stay in that perfect will? By following the Holy Spirit. All right. Let us be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. So much for that idea. Oh, sorry. It thought we sat too long. Here's one I want you to see, and we'll go on to the next one. The Word of God. This is in the passage that talks about entering the rest of God. This is the passage that talks about stopping from your own works, doing the stuff the Holy Spirit says to do. And it ends with, the Word of God is living, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The process for learning to follow the unction or follow the Holy Spirit. Stay filled with the Word, speak and declare it, especially in worship. My heart and my prayer and my desire for all of us is that we spend enough time in prayer, in Bible study, in praying and seeking God, that we get words from God throughout the week. We got that unction over some word that the Spirit's... We were in the Bible reading the words of Jesus, and we got an unction on something. We go, wow, I think that's God talking to me. Please write it down, it is. So you come in here with a word from the Holy Spirit, and you start declaring it. You don't have to necessarily prophesy it out, but start declaring what Jesus said to you during the week. And you declare that in the worship service. You praise him. He told you this is the week you're receiving your healing. Okay, come into church and pray. Thank you, Lord, you are my healer. Thank you, Lord. You said if we lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. You say that in a worship setting. Now you know you're in line with Jesus and the Spirit because you're speaking his words. Now the Holy Ghost goes, Father is saying it's your time is now. You'll feel that and your healing will come right then, right there. You'll know it. You'll know it. That's what we're pursuing. Stay filled with the Word. Speak it. Declare it in worship. Be mindful that it flows from peace. I already said that once. Here's the fruit. Learning to know the difference between soul and spirit. I'll point back to that motorcycle thing again. I obviously wasn't. I should have known, but I was stupid about it, and I didn't discern the difference between soul and spirit. The Spirit was doing everything to warn me, to keep me, so he could keep me alive. I listened to my soul, And my soul said, oh, you're okay. Go ahead. You'll be fine. You're okay. Ignore everybody who loves you and cares about you, is trying to save your life. You can ignore. Gee, that's somebody needs to learn to know the difference between soul and spirit. And that's a lesson that we all need to learn. And we're working on it. We're all doing very well. And I'll talk about our worship service again. I thank God repeatedly in my prayer times for our church and the worship that goes on in here. You guys singing this morning in worship, I'll stack you up against the Tabernacle Choir or anybody else on this planet for the power and the for the power and the presence of God that was being released from singing those songs. As goofy as I am about getting a song out, still, when you sing and you worship from your pure hearts, when you sing and you worship because you understand by faith, I'm speaking the word of God. I'm speaking in alignment with Father and Son, looking to be in alignment, Father and Son, Holy Spirit. We have the atmosphere here. We have the atmosphere for prophesying, for speaking the word of God, for the power being we have that. We still got a thing or two we can learn so that can improve and even come to another level. All of this process is us learning to have relationship with Jesus Christ. How many times have I said, I guess this will be the note to end on. Jesus warned us that on the judgment day, people would come running up to him. Hey, Lord, we did some great stuff. Don't you know it? And he'll say, depart from me. I never knew you. And as he explained that, he said, it's not who calls me Lord, Lord. It's he who does the will of my Father. What did he mean by that? He said, depart, I never knew you. That means you were not in an intimate, communicating, hearing and obeying kind of relationship with me. And that's what I'm talking to you about today. He said, you weren't in a relationship with me and you weren't doing the will of God. You're in church on Sunday. You're doing the will of God. Thank you so much for obeying. That's a good place to start. It's a very good place to start. And we do a lot of things that are the Word and that are the Spirit. Very good places to start. But if we don't learn that unction from the Holy Spirit, when Jesus said, you got to be doing the will of my Father, gee, we've got a Bible full of the will of God. Which, where do I start, Lord? You start with the one that the unction of the Spirit says, this is the one. Andrew, this is the one we're working on today. Focus. Let me lead you and guide you in that one. That's how you walk out a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how you walk in the will of God. That's how you fulfill God's purposes for your life. Let's stop right there. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters, Lord. Love what you're doing in them. Love what you're doing in me, with them together, Lord. I love what you're doing here. Look forward to the good things that are ahead. For today, Lord, I sow this word in the good ground of every heart. I believe that it is certainly Word, certainly Jesus, and certainly Holy Spirit as I've spoken your word over these people. And I pray over those anointed unctions that were received, that they'll know and they'll be anointed with power from God to see those unctions produce the fruit that is available through your word being sown in our heart. So I thank you in advance for the good fruit produced by this word sown in each of us. And Father, we're about to share some food together, just some snacks, and we'll have a little time of fellowship. But Lord, according to you, it ain't a little time, because you try to teach us that as you are, your Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, you said we can also be one with each other. Lord, you have ordained that we break bread together. We've done it with communion. Now we're going to do it with some fellowship and some food. Lord, we pray a blessing on the food and our time together, that we will receive the revelation that we are one in the Spirit with each other, and that you unite us in that, and that releases the agreement that brings the Holy Spirit into our lives. We pray for that. We declare that over ourselves in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 As the curtain goes up, I'll snap. So, hey, and even if you didn't bring something, that's okay. There's plenty there. And come and enjoy yourselves and enjoy the food. God bless you. If you need something, here I am.
I do. Get on this chair.
Please. Hang on one second.
No, it's all right. Andrew will. He always does.
Oh, okay. Let me do this because the thing is running right there.
Thanks, Paul.